If you have a copy of God's Word, turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're speaking on the fall and election. You wonder, why is there so much suffering and sin in the world? So all can be traced back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve was tempted of the serpent. And Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world. Adam was the representative of the human race. His sin, we sinned in Adam, brought human mankind into a fall. The Lord said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He didn't die physically that day, but he died spiritually. He lost his fellowship with God. He was aware of his nakedness. He was aware of sin. He was aware of his evil. He was aware of things that he didn't know before. He did now know good and evil. Adam, sin affects us all. And we sinned in Adam. Again, reading verse 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. The wages of sin is death. Why do we die? Because of God's promise. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God. Physical death is separation of the body from the soul. When we die, we don't cease to exist because our soul goes back to the Creator who created it, and the body is laid in the dust of the ground, heart of the earth. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, or all sinned in Adam. Every person born into this world, we are all born depraved, fallen. We have a nature that loves evil, as we're going to see as we look into the Word of God this morning. Be much in prayer as we look to the truth of the fall of Adam and Eve and the need of election of God's amazing grace. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, as we bow in Thy presence, we thank You for the opportunity to worship the Lord Jesus, to worship the Father, to worship the Holy Spirit, in spirit and in truth. We pray for Your assistance this morning, Lord. As the Apostle Paul says, our sufficiency is not of ourselves, our sufficiency is of God. And they were apostles. How much more weak vessels as we are, that we need the sufficiency of God, even to think a thought, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Be with us this morning. Bless Thy Word to our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about this, man, since the fall, is depraved in his mind. As you read the Word of God, you'll see in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now this is a picture of mankind after the fall. Wickedness. Now sometimes we don't want to accept our true condition. We want to think kind of highly of ourselves. But God said He saw the wickedness of man, and that means every man. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Beloved, that is our picture of you and I before the grace of God enters into our soul. And the prophet Jeremiah, the prophet in chapter 17, verse 9, he says, the heart, it's not talking about the heart that pumps blood. He's talking about the innermost being, his soul, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You cannot trust yourself. I cannot trust myself. If left to ourselves, we'd be on self-destruction. Because this depraved nature of ours is desperately wicked. Our affections. Jesus brought this out very clear in John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness. We love darkness in our natural state. We're born into this world, and we love darkness. Which is, darkness is always pictured as sin, evil. Our nature loves, our sinful nature loves darkness, loves evil. Rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Paul expressed it this way, because of the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Beloved, this is a picture of each one of us as we're born into this world. Our conscience. Paul says in Titus 1:15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, he's describing a particular characteristic, they're defiled and unbelieving, is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. And this is a picture of you and I before salvation. This is a picture of all unbelievers. One more verse in Hebrews 10:22 on the conscience says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. An evil conscience. It even goes deeper than that. You know, Christ said, by your word you shall be justified, and by your word you shall be condemned. But look what he says about the speech. The psalm says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Now, for all people, parents should understand that. Little baby's laying there, screaming, crying. You think the baby's dying. As soon as you pick up the baby's okay. That baby's lying already. From the womb, as soon as it's born. They learn, don't they? It says in Romans 3:13, their throat is an open scepter. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ash is under their lips. We're depraved when we're born into this world, as I just read before. Behold, Psalm 51:5, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Beloved, we are conceived in sin. We're not innocent. As sweet as a child is, as sweet as Luke is, as sweet as babies are when they're born, they're conceived in sin because we're sinners. They have our image. It says in this verse I quoted earlier, Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. That's why we need to pray for our young people. We need to pray for those around us, our loved ones. Why? Because of the nature they possess. Unless you're born again, it's the nature of a fallen creature to love darkness. It's their nature to love evil. It's their nature to stay away from the light because the light condemns them. People don't like to be uncomfortable. And when they come under the preaching of the Word, if they're not born again, if they're not believers, it brings them under conviction. It brings them to see what their condition is, and they want to stay away from that. They don't want to come to the light because their deeds are evil. That don't mean they're running around practicing evil, but it means their nature that is in them is totally bent to evil. Not that you couldn't be more evil than you are. I think God restrains evil in all of us, even in those who are not born again. God took away His restraining grace, this world would destroy itself probably in just a few hours. What is the effect of the fall upon mankind? And this will show you the need of God's electing grace. Man by nature is spiritually dead. Now some people say, well, there's a little light in man, just a little bit, and if he'll fan it, you know, he can see a little bit, you know. Man is not truly dead. Man is spiritually dead. Dead. As I read earlier, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death, spiritually. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead. Dead. Not partially dead. When you go to the graveyard, that person laying in the grave, they're either dead or alive. There's no in between. Spiritually, we either spiritually are alive or we're dead spiritually. And Paul says, and you hath he quickened. There had to be a quickening for who? Those that are dead. You don't quicken a person who's alive. You quicken the dead. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, being dead in your sins. John says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We pass from death, spiritually dead, alien sinner, unto life, unto having spiritual life, being born again by the Spirit of God, then you're spiritually alive. Until that happens, you can hear the gospel, you can hear preaching, you can be talked to, but it will not affect your life until God gives you spiritual life, which will give you a spiritual ear, spiritual eyes to receive the things of God. And I know we love our young people. We love our families. We love those around us. And we should proclaim the gospel to all that we come in contact with. But at the same time, we should know, unless God gives them regenerating grace, they will do that which is their nature to do, resist the gospel. You say, that puts all salvation in the hands of God alone. Yes, it does, doesn't it? Hail sovereign love. Hail sovereign grace. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now, I know this is a hard doctrine for a lot of people. But there's only one place a poor sinner can go. That's to his knees. And pray that the God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit will have mercy upon our sinful soul. Therefore, he cannot comprehend spiritual things. Paul made it so clear in 1 Corinthians 2:14 through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But the natural man, or the sensual man, the man who is not born again, the unbelieving, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, we can take the Word of God and talk to an unbeliever until we turn blue in the face. But Paul says they can't receive it. It's foolishness to them, and they can't know it. They don't understand it. And you can tell them to get on their knees, say a prayer after you, and they can do that, but they'll get up the same way they went down. They'll still be lost. Beloved, it takes the work of God to save a soul. It takes the work of God. And when God works in a soul and He opens up the soul, when He regenerates the soul, when He gives life, then they all of a sudden they can hear the voice of the Son of God. They can see in the Word of God the preciousness of Jesus Christ and His redemptive work on Calvary, His atoning sacrifice for them. They have eyes to see. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Remember that. Jesus said in this context in John 3:27, in the writing there, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. It's given, not offered. God doesn't offer salvation, He gives it. When He gives regenerating grace, you're born again. You see like the wind. You can't see it, but you can hear it. You can feel it. The effects of it. It's the same thing when we're born again. We don't know when God changes us, but then we can feel the effects of it. All of a sudden, we can see spiritual things. We can hear spiritual things, and our affections and our emotions are moved by the grace of the Holy Spirit of God that we want to love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a change in our attitude. John says, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's the effect. The wind has done its change. The Holy Spirit has changed us. What is the effect of the wind of the Holy Spirit? It gives us love one for another. You can know that you pass from death unto life because there's something happened in you that now you love one another. You love the brethren, the sisters. There's a change. There's new affections in your soul. That's why He said, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You cannot be born again and not love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's impossible. As long as we're in a state of depravity, without the Holy Spirit regenerating us, remember, we cannot comprehend spiritual things. We cannot receive spiritual things, the truth of God's Word. Because the things of the Spirit to the natural man is what? Foolishness. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? That God chose the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's referring to conversion, experience. You've already been born again by the grace of God. You're quickened by the Holy Spirit. And God is man, as we preach the gospel in power and demonstration of the Spirit, that preaching that the world calls foolishness is the power of God unto conversion experience, where we come to the knowledge of salvation in our souls and in our minds and come to the peace of God in our consciousness. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But of them which are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. Let us thank God for the preaching of the gospel to God's elect. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Believe. He saves them that believe. Therefore, man in his natural state cannot submit or subject himself to the law of God. Paul makes this very clear in Romans 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8 says, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. No matter what you do, you can go to church, you can give money, you can help the poor, you can do all these things which are good with themselves, but you can't please God in human activity when you're dead in trespasses and sins, beloved. We can only please God whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and a person who is not born again has no faith, so everything they do is without faith. Everything without faith is sin. It's done for selfish reasons. Remember, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jesus, who knew the hearts of all men, said, no man can come to me except. John 6:44, he says these words, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, he qualifies those that can come to Christ. very plain and very clear. No man can come to me except the Father draws that individual. He also says in verse 65 of the same chapter, and he said, therefore say I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. Beloved, the Father has to give you regenerating grace, which gives you the ability to come unto Jesus Christ, unto the Father. Unless God gives you that ability, you will never come. That shows, beloved, salvation is at the mercy of God. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's when I read that verse last Sunday about the Gentiles, that he had mercy. Mercy on Gentiles. Aren't you grateful for that? He could have bypassed all the Gentiles and just saved the Jews. But God so loved the world, Jew and Gentile. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah for that. Who are the ones which the Father draws? It's a good question. The ones given to Christ. John 6:37. You want to read of sovereign grace? Read the 6th chapter of John over and over, and you'll see God's distinguishing grace, God's sovereign grace. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. No ifs, no maybes, no buts. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, hallelujah. We're never cast out. What a blessed assurance. That song says that Jesus is mine. What a foretaste of glory divine. According to the election of grace, Romans chapter 11, Paul says in verse 5, even so then at this present time, also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Beloved, we are elected because of grace, God's sovereign grace. If by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be a work, then it is no more of grace, otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath attained it, and the rest were blinded. God just leaves the rest in the blindness of their nature. The elect, he quickens, regenerates their soul, that they can see the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. Now, this truth is taught all through the New Testament. I'm going to read you some verses, and we'll begin with Matthew 13:13, which says, therefore I speak out of them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Mark says it like this in Mark 4:12, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. John brings it out very clearly in John chapter 12, verse 37 through 40. He says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And that comes from Isaiah 53:1. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Unless it's revealed, you will never believe. Never. With the heart, man believeth. With the heart. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe. You hear that? Therefore, they could not believe because in Isaiah said he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, I should heal them. Now bring it down to a practical application in Acts chapter 28, beginning with verse 23. And when they had appointed a day, there came many to him in the lodging to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till night. This is until evening. This is referring to Paul the apostle. Notice what he says in verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken and some believed not. There will always be in every crowd, in every congregation, everywhere we go, some that will believe and some that believe not. Because some are still blinded. They hear, but they don't hear. They see, but they don't see. Until they receive the grace of God, they can never receive the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They don't have the faith of God's elect. They don't have the faith to believe. Therefore, they could not believe. And some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. Now he's explaining why some believe and some believe not, saying, go unto the people, this people, and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And he goes on to say in Romans 11:8, according as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eye that you should not see, and ear that they should not hear, until this day. Beloved, among the world there is God's elect, and there's the rest. Those that are blinded, unless God gives regenerating grace, none of us would ever see the grace of God. None of us would see the grace of God. He says in Acts about believing, just to give you a few examples, in Acts chapter 4, verse 4, he says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. This is in the early church. 5,000 believed. Now what made the difference? They were given the heart. They were given grace, regenerating grace. Their minds were opened that they received the Word of God and believed. Chapter 5, verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Chapter 8, verse 12, but when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized both men and women. Chapter 10, verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead, referring to Jesus Christ. Chapter 11, verse 17, forasmuch then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, referring to the Holy Spirit, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And in chapter 11, verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. The hand of the Lord was with them. Beloved, what we need, and every church needs, is the hand of the Lord to be with us. And many should turn to the Lord our God. The rest. And Jesus made it so clear when he was teaching in John. He says in John chapter 10, verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now, is that clear? Talking to the Jews. Now, the early church were all Jews. Remember this. Except, I think Luke was a Gentile. All Jews. But he said, you Jews, there's some among you that believe not. In the Messiah. I'm the Messiah, Jesus. Was the Messiah. They didn't believe He was the Messiah. He said, why? Because ye are not of my sheepfold. The ones given to me of the Father. Oh, beloved. He said in chapter 17, verse 9, in his prayer, pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And this verse really brings it forth very forcefully to our minds. Acts 13:41 says, "Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." There is preachers preaching today, there's people hearing today, and there's many who will not believe in Christ, though a man declare it unto them. They reject it. Because they're doing what their nature does. The preaching of the cross to the natural man is foolishness. The elect of God. Why do the elect believe? Paul makes it very clear in Acts 13:48 when he was speaking to the Gentiles. They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to hear the gospel. And Paul finishes it up saying this, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorify the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." There's always life precedes believing. Now, we don't know who the elect are. Election, if there was no election, there'd be nobody saved. We would all be dead in trespasses and sins. None of us would ever believe. Election is a great doctrine. It's a great truth that God elected His people unto salvation, and that all those whom He elected, He says, they will be ordained to eternal life. As many as ordained into eternal life, what do? They believe. Believe follows life. Because remember, we're all sinners. We're all guilty. None of us deserve anything but hell. If you got and I got what we deserve, we'd be in the very pits of hell this very moment. Jesus said, "Neither pray for I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." He prayed for every believer all down through the ages. It wasn't an accident that you believed in Jesus Christ. The Lord prayed for that. He prayed for that. Oh, beloved, may we rejoice. And it's all because of the grace of God. All because of the grace of God. All this, I'm just going to go through a few things. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. God of all grace. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, and that you have suffered a while, make you perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, settle you." Paul says that we're under grace in Romans 6:15. Some of these, I'm just going to read them to you. "The riches of God's grace." Ephesians 1:7. "The exceeding riches of His grace." Ephesians 2:7. It says, "That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Remember that we were with Gentiles without hope and without God in the world. We were born in sin, condemned, wicked, ungodly, deserving the wrath of God. But God, in His exceeding riches of His grace, had mercy upon us. Oh, beloved, what we have been delivered from. We're justified by the grace of God. Romans 3:24. Redemption is by the grace of God. Ephesians 1:7. And believing is by grace. We don't believe by our own power. No, listen to this verse, Acts 18:27. "And when He was disposed to pass into Archaea, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive Him, who, when He was come, helped them much which had believed through grace." If someone asked you why you believe, what would you say? You would say, "I believed through the grace of God given me in regeneration." And regeneration. Saved by grace. Ephesians 2:5 and Ephesians 2:8. And then in the Christian life we have sufficient grace to keep us. Paul, one of the greatest apostles ever lived, had a thorn in the flesh, and he sought the Lord. It says, "And He said unto me," this is the Lord speaking to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." There's no situation, beloved, that comes into your life that God's grace is not sufficient. If it, God's grace saved you from such a dark picture of depravity and hell and wickedness and ungodliness, beloved, your daily needs is nothing to God to save you, to be there when you need sufficient grace. Faith makes it a reality, as I said earlier. What did Jesus always say to those whom He healed? Don't be doubting, believing. If you believe, all things are possible. Faith makes the things of God reality in your life. Not just knowing them. As I said about the priest's feet, when the priest's foot touched the water opened. We need at times in our lives to put shoe leather on our faith and believe what God says and believe it and by faith claim it and see the power of God being demonstrated in our lives. Teaching grace. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We are to deny the old depraved nature. We are to resist the old nature. We're under grace, not under the law. We're not under the power of sin. The power of sin has been broken in our lives. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world because we serve the Lord Christ as we profess in our confession of faith and made a profession to the church of our confidence and faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Master. And as we continue our Christian life, we have a good hope through grace. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. I know this could be a sermon in itself, but I want to show you that it's grace all the way. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Oh, beloved, the reign of grace. I love that. You know, Abraham Booth wrote a book called The Reign of Grace. If you've never read it, I'd like to encourage you to read it. He says in Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is going to reign into your life until the very end of our physical existence, unto eternal life forever and ever. Grace will always be grace. And as we live this life, we need a throne of grace to go to because we're still depraved. That's something we experience, don't we, as Christians? Being born again doesn't remove the problem of a fallen nature. Sometimes, you know, you think your room is so clean, it looks so pure, but all of a sudden as the sun shines through, what's that floating in the air? You can see little dust particles. As the brighter the sun gets the light. Same thing in our lives. The more you read the Word, the more you study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit opens your mind, the more you can see. All of a sudden you see things in your life. You say, boy, is that me? You see the spots. You see your need of God's grace. You see, yes, that's still true. Oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me, Paul says, from this body of sin. You begin to learn that in your heart. And you realize, oh, I need a throne of grace to go to as a believer. Daily we sin. Daily we need grace. Paul says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. You're still a sinner. And you need mercy. I'm still a sinner. And I still need mercy. To find grace to help in time of need. When we sin, we have a need. We need to confess it. Confess means to agree with God. God, you're correct. I'm wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I'm doing wrong. I'm agreeing with you. Forgive me. And then turn from it. The Bible says, he that confesseth his sins and covereth them shall not prosper. But if you confess your sins and forsake them, then you will prosper. You can just confess something and not forsake it. It's not real repentance. Real repentance is turning from that wickedness and agreeing with God. That's true confession. And in closing, a couple more verses. Paul says in Hebrews 12:28, wherefore we receive the kingdom we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear, because it says God shall judge His people. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son. If you be without chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. Beloved, we need grace to serve God as a Christian. And we may serve God accepted with reverence. We need to reverence God in our lives. When Moses stood before the Lord at the burning bush, He says, take off thy shoes because you're standing on holy ground. Sometimes we as believers lose sight of the holiness of the God whom we serve. Where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I in the midst. Who's in our midst? The holy God whom we serve. And in closing, as it closed the canon of the New Testament, it says in Revelation 22:21, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And think about this verse as we close this morning, individually. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? The one who makes us different from another is God. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? We can't go around bragging, well, you know, I'm better than you are. I'm serving the Lord. You're not. I'm this, I'm that. But that's pride, beloved. God gives us a humble and a meek and a contrite spirit. God will not despise. We don't run around boasting and bragging what we are. We brag on the Lord. Why does thy glory, as if thou hast not received it? Everything we have as a believer, we received it from the hand of a gracious, loving Father. Beloved, we see the effects of the fall. We see God's electing grace. And we see that through electing grace, it's all because of God's amazing grace that any of us are saved by the grace of God. May we pray. A gracious and loving Father, we bow before You this morning. Paul said to give thanks for our election. Lord, I want to thank You for electing us, choosing us, writing our names in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, quickening us in time, giving us a new birth, bringing us in contact with the gospel that we become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we believe in by the foolishness and preaching of the gospel, we come to believe and have the consciousness and the faith of Jesus Christ in our soul and our minds and come to rely wholly and totally upon Him for all our salvation. And Lord, we thank You for the grace of God that brings us salvation and teaches us all through our Christian life. It's only by grace that we stand, only by grace that we're saved, only by grace that we have a hope, only by grace that we have daily victory, only by grace we can face death, only by grace that we must finally say, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For in Christ's name, Father, we do pray and ask Your blessings upon this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.